I'm a big fan of community. And so there's actually three reasons why I believe in the power of community, and I'm seeing something new emerging. So the first reason, I strongly believe that the brands that will survive and thrive in this new disrupted economy will be the ones nurturing a community. And we'll talk more about what does that mean. The second reason is that and that's a deeper reason of why I so much believe in the power of communities. In our current stressful and unstable economy, you know, to me, the real impactful progress depends on individuals finding their trusted and kindred communities to become accountable and bring change to the world. So that when you find your people, the sky's the limit.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back, my friend, to another episode of Life After Corporate. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. This is where you get the straight advice and step-by-step strategies and tactics on how to build a sustainable and profitable and scalable business as a coach or consultant. And today we have a very special guest to introduce you to. She is an avant-garde marketer, a visionary, someone who I've known in my circles who is passionate about diverse cultures, the planet, and how we establish communities in our businesses and in society. Now she's a fractional CMO. Virginie Glenzer is the founder of Acorn Oak, a fractional marketing company where she delivers strategy and advice to companies on how to stand out in their markets and how to connect with their audiences. And today we're talking about the power of communities and what it really means in this new economy that we're creating here. And Virginie, I'm so happy to have you on Life After Corporate. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Deb. It's a pleasure being here.
So let's talk about your Life After Corporate story, because I know you've been a vice president of marketing or CMO in the corporate world. What made you leave the corporate paycheck behind, and what are you doing now?
It was really random happening. I've always been an employee or an entrepreneur. And then after my third startup, which was a new model of co-working spaces, transforming vacant retail stores into co-working spaces for freelancers, I found myself having to go back to corporate just because I had three daughters soon to go to college. And as you know, in the US, it's very expensive. And I couldn't find the right investor to continue the business that I had run for a year and a half. As I was sending a resume, a couple of company asked me to do some consulting, and I say, sure, why not? And that got transformed into Acorn Oak. I started to get too many clients. I created an agency, and one thing led to another. We were 13 women of experience, creating a space where we could nurture various experimentation. We didn't want to create a traditional marketing agency, but really a space where we individually could develop ourselves in the support of other people.
That is so fascinating.
And so slowly, I became a fractional CMO, and I really enjoy it. I don't know how long I'm going to stay a fractional CMO, because there are aspects that I'm missing a little bit from corporate, which is, you know, investing in relationship on the long term with a team. But there's definitely a lot of ups and positive experience that I've had.
So I'm so interested in that you've created this corporate culture where it's about developing ourselves while we help our clients develop. Tell me about that thinking. How are the women in your company equally focused on self-development as well as developing better strategies and ways of marketing for your clients.
Mm-hmm. So originally it was a result of a refusal to create a traditional agency. We didn't want to be one or two people highly networked, fetching clients and then feeding the rest of the employees. We wanted to become independent. That was the mission and the purpose of the agency. So even though out of the 13 people, there were really four or five that were actively working and engaged, the rest of the team was there to support, to ask questions. And then there had been various projects that have emerged. You know, I can only talk about my own project, but a lot of other women found themselves developing some, you know, one published a book and others went into different routes. But this space that we created really was empowering. We didn't feel we were judged and we could just try out. So I wrote a book with three people that I met on Twitter. We started a podcast just because we were having such interesting discussion with small groups of people passionate about something. So we started gathering those small group around a question and we tackled so many different questions. And that really helped us think deeper and expand our own comfort zone without taking too much risk.
And I think that's what makes you stand out in the marketplace of fractional leaders and fractional executives. You have a very forward-looking, futuristic look at the horizon and what's coming up next. How does the future of work need to change? And how does the future of how we market to people need to change? How do we gather and how does that need to change? So I know before we went live, we were talking about the power of communities. And tell us more about what you mean by that. Why are you so passionate about the concept of communities and where did that come from?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of community. So there's actually three reasons why I believe in the power of community and I'm seeing something new emerging. So the first reason, I strongly believe that the brands that will survive and thrive in this new disrupted economy will be the ones nurturing a community. And we'll talk more about what does that mean. The second reason is that and that's a deeper reason of why I so much believe in the power of communities. In our current stressful and unstable economy, you know, to me, the real impactful progress depends on individuals finding their trusted and kindred communities to become accountable and bring change to the world. So that when you find your people, the sky's the limit. And then the third reason is that I see a community as a way to change leadership. And as you know, leadership is in crisis. I remember a discussion with Michael Bowens, who's a theorist in the emerging field of peer-to-peer collaboration. And he uses the jazz band analogy to describe his view of distributed leadership, which to me is describing how a real community functions. He says that a jazz band musical quality is enhanced by this fluid and collaborative format that achieves artistic balance by inviting each member to take the lead. That's how a jazz band works, right? There's no one leader. And he says, in a community, it's not leaderlessness. It exemplifies leaderfulness. That's why I'm passionate about community.
And so there's internal communities, right? Inside organizations, there are cross organization communities. I mean, I know when I was in the corporate world, one of the products that I delivered was based on executive collaboration, or not really collaboration, but executive sharing. It was a community across organizations, government agencies, corporate, of leaders sharing best practices, of asking the most pressing questions and gathering in discussions around the possible answers. So how do you define community and how do you see communities at play in your world?
Mm-hmm. It's true. The term community is really overused and usually people refer to a community as a bunch of followers, a WhatsApp group, member of a loyalty program, or even the subscriber of a club. But it couldn't be further away from what I'm seeing. A community is a space where people feel a strong sense of belonging. And so this community, as you said, can be a customer community or an employee community. But for them to feel a sense of belonging, you need a space for them to voice their truth. And one, when they have this sense of belonging because they feel able to voice their truth, that creates agency, which makes a community thrive and engage. So a community usually starts with shared purpose, and then it gets organized with its members about the bylaws and how do we act, what are the guidelines. That's really, to me, what is a community.
And give us an example of a great community in operation. Yeah, you know, what is a community that you have either created or that you admire and who, and that is really bringing about change either in the local sense of where the community is or in the global sense of impact.
Mm-hmm. And we can definitely talk more about the challenges. Why is it so difficult to create those new type of organization? And then the opportunities that to me are huge. The communities that I find inspiring to watch, and there's none that fits the description that I just described. There are good communities, small communities, if you're interested in, you know, in each industry that could be organized by one individual, whether it's to talk about permaculture in the agriculture development, or it could be a small community in organized by an agency that would just gather people around best practices. But these are very small communities. The bigger one that I've been following for years is, for example, you know, that Harley-Davidson community. I mean, if you think of a brand that makes people tattoo their logo on their arms, you know, you definitely have to focus on Harley-Davidson. And what's interesting is that their community is also evolving. They're currently letting riders test electrical models at national event. They share the direction they're going, the strategy, and they really understand that the community drives the expansion of the brand. And they consider a community almost kind of like a product. It needs to evolve. It needs a redesign from time to time. So that's one community that I invite everyone to focus on. There's another one, a smaller one that I looked at a few months ago. And this one was from a clothing retailer focusing on easy-to-wear clothing for women in executive roles. The name is M.M. Lafleur. They recently launched an initiative to support women running for office, and they would give them complimentary clothing and loan. So from a marketing standpoint, they do a lot of, you know, emails, online forms, and Instagram, but they're a good example of a brand with a strong customer community.
So there are customer communities that can be organized to support brands. And I imagine there's this like cybernetic relationship where the company gets input from the community, and the community then helps drive the focus of the brand and the product strategy. And the value to the company is that loyalty, that customer loyalty and continued purchasing. And then there are communities that are actually products, right? They are the paid for products that companies develop. So let's talk about what makes for a successful community, you know, and what are some of the challenges involved in establishing one? Because it seems like everywhere you look, there's another community popping up online, you know, join our membership community. This is what we're about. But some don't really have a clear sense of purpose or how to participate or how do you benefit from this community?
Absolutely. So Sephora has a great community of customers where they are able online to connect with others and share tips and best practices. Salesforce has also a humongous community of customers to help them and each of them and between each other how to implement Salesforce products. So these communities, I envision organization becoming better at opening their organization with customers in the format of public forum, right? So this is great. The challenge that I see, whether it's a customer or an employee community, is to accept the idea that a community is not owned by your brand. And it's very challenging perspective to adopt because very often, as I mentioned, community is seen as a marketing tactic. But actually, a community should not be owned by your brand. When we let go the idea of control, we can remember that a brand exists to serve the people in it. A brand community exists to serve the people in it. So the brand is just the Sherpa. It's a sort of guide to their customers. And it really becomes the supportive character in the customer's stories. Another challenge that people have a difficulty is that since this community is not mine and people are free to express themselves, then we, organization, we can embrace the conflict that makes communities thrive. In other words, there are tough conversations that can happen in those communities, and organization should not run away from those tough conversations. Transparent and honest conversation, or la raison d'être for a community. And then the third challenge that I've been seeing is to measure what matters. If you build a community for as a marketing tool, thinking it's going to differentiate yourself from other organizations, or it's going to be a way to do lead generation, you're going to measure things that are not important for the community to thrive. So if you want a thriving customer community where people feel a sense of belonging, then you need to measure their agency. How engaged are they? How far are they willing to go to showcase their trust and belonging to the brand? And then you should measure their creativity. How much content are they creating? How many people are they inviting, right? What are they asking? How responsive are they? So these are some of the challenges. And it's just because we have a limited perception of what a community is or could be. And so we are missing on the huge opportunities that are right there in the community aspect.
Is the community owner an employee of the company? Is it someone who's an independent expert who's running the community? And I agree with not walking away from difficult conversations, but is this a sense of these people become brand ambassadors and bring others into the community, into the conversation? So as you look at Salesforce or Harley Davidson or those that Sephora, you know, the community kind of takes on a life of its own, right? So in the case of Harley Davidson, there's an entire culture. There is a culture around the brand. You know, people, like you said, tattoo the brand on their bodies. They're wearing merchandise when they're riding. You know, the bikes are clearly identifiable. With Sephora, that must be very different, right?
Yeah. But when you talk about culture, I remember I was having a conversation with Richard Bartlett. He's a co-founder of Lumio. Which is a platform for communities to use. And he reminded me that communities are the space to create culture. And that's a fundamental shift. So far, in the old world where people would come to an office and would work full-time, organization and most of the leadership team were thinking that the culture is something that you build and impose and nurture, and it comes from the brand. With people working from home, with people becoming fractional in the way they engage with an organization, and communities becoming a key element of the development of a brand, the culture is going to be created by the community. So it's a fundamental shift. And if the executive team is not willing to see something different, it's going to be very hard. The challenge that I mentioned, right, or overshadowing the opportunities. And one thing that I always say for organization, and I work with clients who are trying to build or building communities in the DNA of their brand, I remind them that the statistics are very straightforward. What 5%, a 5% improvement in customer retention can increase profit anywhere from 25 to 95%. So there's a real impact to the bottom line. And that's one way to take this risky and challenging idea into a board meeting and say, we're going to try this. There's data and there's real impact to the bottom line that we could get out of. That's one way to get inside some sort of agreement.
So where does a company get started? You know, right before we went live and started recording, you were talking to me about this company creating a new economy with fractional developers and really being super innovative, a new innovative business model. So tell us more about that.
Well, I think for companies that already exist, that are on the marketplace, they have, you know, their business model already in place, the change is going to be a lot more difficult than new organization that starts from scratch, who decide to build a community within their DNA. That's, you know, these are really two different worlds. For the organization who have an established business, and they understand that, you know, if they want to thrive and adapt, they need to bring on this idea of community. The first thing is to start with a purpose, a shared purpose. So it requires the executive team to involve some of the employees and start asking questions about what are our values? What do we change? What do we, you know, beyond the product, beyond the money, what's the purpose of the brand? And so that's really the beginning. Some organizations have done that homework, that deep thinking, others absolutely not. So it depends on where they are on that spectrum. Once they have the values, the mission, the reason why other people would join this community to co-create, then the fun part begins, which is we need to have a social media or a community manager. And that community manager is going to help, you know, bring a small subset of customers. And with those customers, start establishing the guidelines, the behaving, you know, the behaviors that we want to reward, the how do we communicate, what platform do we choose. So there's a very technical aspect, and it's best to do that in co-creation with some customer, because now you're really truly functioning as a community. And then it's expanding by looking at the right KPIs or measurement that I just mentioned about creativity and engagement. For the organization who do not exist, and they know that their success to compete with the existing, you know, existing competitor is to embed a community, because a community becomes the voice of the brand. It becomes, it's a place to develop new business model, to try out new idea, to use. So they're going to use votes and ranking for the product team to decide which features to prioritize. They may also explore tokens and crypto, right? We are moving towards an ownership economy with Web3, and people are going to be rewarded for what they do. You know, I'm involved with a young startup called reapcommunity.co, and it's a platform for entrepreneurs. The whole organization have been thought with a community. But more than that, the vision for from the team is, instead of building an organization in the traditional format where, you know, it's a C corp, you have board members, you have an executive team, and the ownership of the company belongs to those who have the stake of, you know, the stock option and the stock. What if we were building an organization with the customers becoming an owner? And using crypto and token, you are now able to give shares of your private company to members, to customers. Can you imagine, instead of being in that transactional relationship, you know, I buy, I get, and once I'm done with the product, I'm going to leave and find something else. What if this transactional relationship would become a relationship in which the customer becomes a stakeholder, becomes an owner? Now it's the customer is a lot more involved in the decision making. And the third step for this newly companies is to embrace some of the DAO's principle, because this is about moving from controlled to distributed leadership. And that's, I think that's the potential that very few organizations are really seeing.
Virginie, you always stretch my brain whenever we have a conversation. I mean, you are on the cutting edge of business and society, and that blend of business and society and how it's changing. I mean, from my experience in the corporate world, coming on from the product side, I always had partners in development with my clients, and they were always grateful to be part of the development discussion because we actually built our service offerings around their exact needs, which enabled us to charge higher fees, to have much more engaged customers in what we were doing. And part of what we developed was a peer community, which was what they were craving for as well. But you're talking about brand new business models, new financial structures.
Absolutely.
And new payment models built around communities.
It's both exciting and it's unsettling because it's challenging the belief that you hold about, do we need leadership? How much of a leadership team do we need that imposes the direction of a company to its clients? You know, and I think today people are willing to stand up. I mean, I'm going to give you two examples. Just in my lifetime in the last 2 weeks, I'm a big fan of getting my food. As a New Yorker, I rarely go shopping for food. And so I get my food delivered. I've used Peapod Stop and Shop for the last 3 years. They, instead of having a brown bag, they changed to a reusable linen bag. But now they expect me every week when I get delivered to throw perfectly used linen reusable bag. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. It was not good before because I was throwing those brown bags, but thinking you could recycle them. But these are perfectly good reused already bag. And so I reached out, I went on LinkedIn and I connected with all their executive team saying, hey, if you expect me to go into business and resell those bags, no, I'm out. So now I'm looking for a new organization that could bring food in a solution that makes me more conscious, you know, more in alignment with
your values. Yeah, exactly. With your values around the planet. It's such a great example because the food delivery services, you know, there's so much good in there and yet also so much waste in the packaging of it that it's ripe for innovation. Wow, we've covered so much ground for Shinny in this conversation. For our listeners who are, you know, our listeners are coaches, they're consultants, some are fractional CMOs or fractional executives. You know, what would be a great way for them to take the first steps toward exploring how they incorporate community into, number one, their own businesses, or also incorporate the concept of community in the companies that they're working for as fractional CFOs or CMOs? What do you advise? Where do we get started?
So it's easy to get caught up into this desire of looking or finding answers, cutting to the chase, what do I do? There's unfortunately this decision of embedding a community within your organization, no matter what type of organization it is, starts by asking ourselves questions. What do I feel about, how do I feel about communities? What are my, you know, what are the beliefs? What stories am I bringing into the mix? Because once you have a clarity of why you desire a community, what are your negative perception, it's going to be much easier to overcome them or to find the right community. Not everyone is ready to give ownership to their clients and customers. There's going to be a lot of companies, like, you know, any evolution and disruption that we've seen in the last 200 years, there's always early adopters who are willing to take the risk or who see things that others don't. And then there's other people that are going to be waiting for the recipe, for the how-tos. It's quite easy to build a community. There's tons of platforms. There's tons of ways. The location of the place that you create your community is where the people that you want to invite are already. Mm-hmm. And there also are existing communities that you can, you don't have to recreate from scratch. You can go into an area where people are already talking about whatever it is that you want to open the conversation. And, you know, the type of problem you want to solve. A lot of organizations think, oh, I'm going to create a community for my customers. And then they have a hard time separating the ownership with the management of the community. And I think that might be the wrong way to approach it. So asking questions, doing the deep dive about, you know, why do I really want to have a community? What do I believe about communities? Because we're bringing that to the story. And we're, you know, there's a layer of conditioning about how leadership should be structured and how just decision making. How do you let your customer make decision on the next feature, right? Would someone at Stop and Shop not only welcome my feedback, and I suggested to them, can we find a way for me to give back these bags to the delivery agent, and then maybe I can get something in exchange? I don't know, right? So how much is the team and the organization willing to engage in a conversation with me? That's for the individual to say.
Yes. And there's so many communities out there that are just like dead communities. They're just not engaged at all. So what you're saying is you have to give up control and open up, you know, so release control and open up to a new possibility of co-creating with the communities that you're a part of, as well as the communities that you might want to build. And so as always, Virginie, it's an amazing time speaking with you and exploring new possibilities in business and in culture. How do people get in touch with you if they want to learn more or potentially learn about how to work with you?
I'm on LinkedIn and on Twitter, Virginie G. I'm an open book. You will find me. There's not many Virginie Glenzer on the internet, so I'm easy to find.
That's right. Well, we'll put all your links in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us here today. If there's a final word that you have for our listeners based on the biggest insight that you have learned from being a part of or building these communities, what would it be?
I mean, I've learned so much about myself while working on communities. I'm always surprised by people. And I feel that we're so much in our head that when we stop the stories in our head and truly listen to other people, we are very often well rewarded because everyone is so creative. And I think we share a lot more than what we think we share. So that's listening to communities and to people.
Yeah. Listening is the biggest skill that you need to cultivate. Yeah. And we will leave it there. So cultivate your listening skills, listen to the people around you, find out what they need, and gather them around and do it together. Thank you so much, Virginie. It was a pleasure having you. And that's it for now, my friends. Till next time.
Thank you very much, Deb.
Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.